Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, this is the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Jess Barron, live inside the Richard Harris Law Firm studios. Richard Harris Law Firm, where they've won billions for their clients with their less fee guarantee. Darren, how you doing?
Well, it's a two-game winning streak for the Vegas Golden Knights, points in five straight. And when you sit back and you look at it from 30,000 feet, you can literally see the progression in the Golden Knights game through this last trend. And the rise in the level of play and the increase in the consistency of the play and the jump in the areas that were missing during the little flat spot have taken care of themselves. This is a really good hockey team right now, and that was an impressive game last night. A controlled game. You made some NHL history, both individually and as a team last night, and you have it all pointed in the right direction going into a Saturday night game in Anaheim for first place against the Ducks. One team you expected to be in that position, playing for first place at the quarter pole. The other is a surprise. But no matter which way you're looking at it, the Ducks and the Vegas Golden Knights will play for first place in the Pacific tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Golden Knights, 3-0-2 in their last five games. They have hit that 20-game mark with 26 points on the year, same as they had through 20 games last year. And we all know how things ended for the Golden Knights. They won the Pacific Division last year, and now you've got that marquee matchup on Saturday night, tomorrow night in Anaheim. It's a big game for the Ducks. And it's another big game for the Golden Knights, but they are playing their best hockey so far of the season right now.
I wonder who it's a bigger game for. Anaheim trying to stake a claim to the fact that they're a real contender for a playoff spot in the Western Conference, or the Golden Knights trying to take back what they think is theirs.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's a bigger game. I think it means more to Anaheim because the Anaheim Ducks are the up-and-coming team. They are the team that's trying to announce that they have arrived as a player in the Pacific Division. Whereas the same questions that we have for Anaheim, I don't believe we have them for Vegas. We know the Golden Knights are good. We know that when all is said and done after 82 games, we expect Vegas to be top three in the division because that's just who they've been. This is an opportunity for Anaheim to host Vegas in an important game, in a game that means something, and get the job done. So I would argue it means more to Anaheim, but for the Golden Knights, they just want to keep rolling. They just kind of want to keep winning games.
The Anaheim angle is fair, and I talked to Pat Verbeek today on the podcast, the general manager of the Anaheim Ducks. We went through their program, where they are right now. Are they ahead of schedule? What's their expectations this year? And he's asking his coaching staff and his players to make the playoffs. Yeah. They took a 20-point jump last year to get into the conversation, but feel like they left points on the table and should have been closer to a playoff spot than they actually were. Their expectation this season is to be in a postseason position and participating in the first round and battling for first place. Well, that's a bonus for them. They've got a lot of great young players that they've surrounded with some veteran players, and they look, at least through the first 21 games that they've played, like a legit team. They still have to tighten up defensively, but their goal scoring is incredibly impressive. But I've also had a chance to speak off air to several people around the hockey world and inside our facility. And what strikes me is the Golden Knights personnel, players, coaches, support staff, are all aware that this is a game for first place. I didn't bring it up. people inside this organization realize that Vegas and Anaheim in Anaheim Honda Center tomorrow night will play a game for first place, that Vegas is not in first place right now, and that they can reclaim that spot. So even though Vegas has won the division four times in 8 years, yeah. It's not old. It's not, let's just get to the playoffs. There's I think that there is, as you go along through the season, a let's qualify for the playoffs, and what happens during the course of the season, where you place, will sort itself out. But for the time being, this is a group right now that has its sights set on answering back from the overtime loss earlier in the season against Anaheim and taking first place back. And that was illuminating to me, that it was so front and center. It doesn't mean the world to Vegas. I would agree that that conceptually it's a bigger thing for Anaheim.
Sure.
But both sides are uniquely aware of the stakes that are available tomorrow.
Well, I think for Anaheim, it means something beyond just to themselves in the room, right? Like, I think in a lot of ways, if you can knock off the team that has been the standard for really since their inception, that gives you a little bit of juice if you're the Anaheim Ducks. And they were able to beat Vegas in overtime, but it was a very even game. And there were moments inside of that game where the Golden Knights made it look like just another game between Vegas and Anaheim. There were moments where the Ducks were taking on water, and they were fortunate to kind of escape that game with 2 points, especially with some of the chances the Golden Knights had in overtime. I think for the Golden Knights, it is a standard inside the room. This is a team that year over year is the class of the Pacific Division. Right now, they're not in their typical spot. They are not first place in the division, and it's a challenge to themselves individually, collectively, internally, to go out there and be the class of that division. So it's an opportunity for the Golden Knights to just remind everybody that even though they're dealing with injuries to Mark Stone, William Karlsson, and Nathan Hill, they are still a force in the Pacific Division.
We will open up the phone lines at some point during this two-hour extravaganza to wrap up the week on the VGK Insider Show, and talk to some of our listeners and our fans, and just get an idea of where things stand. And we'll let you know when that happens. This is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Anaheim's played one more game. Pat Verbeek was quick to mention that Anaheim's a point up, but Vegas has a game in hand. So that that does change the points percentage side of it. Vegas has the better points percentage right now going into this game. Anaheim has more points. The Golden Knights continue to rack up the points on the road. With the win last night in Utah, they now have points in 8 of 9 road games this year. They're 5-1-3. The home record is a couple of games above 500 at 5-3-3. They've won 2 in a row. And there's several different areas that you can point to for the surge for the Golden Knights, with points in 5 straight games. And right at the top, coming off last night with recency bias, is 5-on-5 play or even strength play involving that top line of Ivan Barbashev, Jack Eichel, and Braden Bowman. There's chemistry there, and in particular, a real connection between Bowman and Jack.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You had kind of mentioned it before the game yesterday that You called it that Braden Bowman would factor in not on the power play, but 5-on-5, because you're starting to see the game build between Bowman and Eichel. And it manifested in Braden Bowman with a tremendous stretch pass for Jack Eichel's second goal of the game. And then Eichel returning the favor, Bowman going hard to the front of the net with his stick down, and just a phenomenal pass from Jack Eichel for Braden Bowman's third goal in his 5th game, the only Golden Knight player to start with 3 goals in his first 5 games in his career. It's a multi-point game for Braden Bowman, and it just seems the more he plays with Jack, the more he understands where he needs to be and what he needs to do. And that duo, along with Ivan Barbashev, are building and building and building period after period.
A little disappointed. Gonna be honest, I expected a few flowers for my proclamation that Jack was going to break out last night and that line was going to get it going. And to get greeted with a, you kind of said it, that's weak. That's weak on your part.
I was leaning into Bowman. Relax.
Out front with it. And there's zero
Everyone in the world knew Jack. Everyone in the world knew Jack Eichel was going to
have a big Nobody else said it. Nobody else said it. Not you.
Unbelievable.
Not all the experts. And yet, I get
Why are you mad at
zero.
Me?
Zero.
Go get mad at all your other friends.
I don't have other friends.
That's a very good point.
And again, you're not a friend. You're a colleague.
I know.
Let's leave it at that. But Jack was great. I love the first goal. And mm-hmm. he downplayed it, saying he had a pretty good look at a wide-open net there. But right spot, again, some in-zone play. And they got a break. We talked about it on the TV side with Alec Martinez and Jeff Sharples. Brett Howden crashed the net, and you love Brett Howden going to the net, but the net didn't come off its pegs, which was a real break because then Jack put it in the open net. A lot of times that net will pop up because Howden hit the net hard. I guarantee you he's feeling that somewhere in his abdomen or ribs today, the way he hit that net. So again, Vegas gets a bit of a break, but they did the right things to create the goal. Jack is rewarded for a play, and he says he had a wide open net. Well, he's had other chances that have gone off the post that didn't go. Mm-hmm. The hockey gods maybe pay him back, and then he puts home the breakaway goal, which was spectacular. It just turned on the Jets, and they were playing him so hard. O'Brien, everybody on the Vegas power play, they were cheating up top with the fenceman cheating up top, and taking away all space for almost like a pseudo shadow of Jack Eichel. And when Braden Bowman picked off the pass in his own zone, Jack blew the zone and got a step on the defense, and he was gone. It was a rare time where he had more than a couple of feet space to navigate, and he made good on it with the goal. And the no-look pass, Marty said, Jack knew he was going to Bowman all along.
Yeah,
but he did an amazing job of just faking everybody out that he was going to go wide, because he didn't pass until he got deep into the corner. And then came straight across. Even Vemelka thought he was going somewhere else because the goalie always has his stick there. Really, you saw every facet from Jack Eichel.
Yeah, I mean, he was an absolute beast last night against the Mammoth. And when Jack is kind of in that mode, you can't contain him. You just can't. And, you know, to your point about that first goal, you get a bit of a break there. But what I loved about that play was that it all started with Jack Eichel ripping a shot on goal. And then it's a puck that Vemelka can't really corral, and the rebound is there. Then you've got Dorofiev making a play on it, Jack going to the front of the net, following up his shot. A lot to like from Jack Eichel's game, a lot to like from Braden Bowman's game. That top line was tremendous. And then, you know, let's talk about Ben Hutton, right? Like, goals in consecutive games for the second time in his career. The production from the blue line is continuing to show up for the Golden Knights. That was a sore subject a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Was it not from the 5-foot same area that he scored against the New York Rangers?
Yeah, it was almost the exact same play. Like, Hutton activates a great play along the wall by Cole Reinhardt to get the puck to him, and it sneaks through, but you got to be able to put yourself in those positions. And, you know, I look at Ben Hutton, 13 games played, and he's already got 5 points and 2 goals. Like, that's impact from a depth player that doesn't play every game, but when he's in there, he gives you something.
I want to put a little square down on the ice and see. We can do all these fancy little things with telestration with our producer, Taylor Qualman. I want to see how close he was to the same spot that he scored on against the New York Rangers as he put the puck home against the Utah Mammoth. Pretty close. And how about the other side is, like he didn't go bar down on either one. He found a hole on both guys. And I'm going to tell Ben, he overpowered both guys. And that's another side of things that you get a break. You get one to squeak through. Let's open up the phone lines and get your reaction. Let's start off with, we got an early caller. This is Bruce from Summerlin, who is in Anaheim. Bruce from Summerlin in Anaheim. Welcome to the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
How do you enjoy the game last night, Bruce?
I enjoyed it a lot. Lots to like. Nice environment to play there. I don't know if any of our listeners have been to Utah, but it's kind of a neat spot, neat building. They've redone it a little bit, so good noisy hockey crowd. Yeah, we were good. Played good. We're turning the corner, though.
Bruce Cassidy joining us on the VGK Insider Show, having some fun with the introduction there. Let's start with the building, because you brought that up. The steepness of the stands, that building's a little old school for some of us that remember some of the buildings from days gone by.
Yeah, especially like you know, the area right behind the glass, like lower level. Last year there was a curtain over it about halfway up. Obviously for the basketball viewing is going to be different, but they've managed to correct that so that there's no, I assume, obstructed view seats, but they've made them really pitched, you know, so it's kind of cool to look at. I haven't sat there. I did a long time ago in the old the Montreal Forum up there, and they were, wow, you get up there and you get a little bit nervous. The old days, even the new, the Bell Center in Montreal, they still seem very, you know, like pitched or steep or whatever word you want to use. So, yeah, it's a good environment, though. They've done a nice job.
Bruce Cassidy joining us on the VGK Insider Show. It's 5 points or five games in a row with a point. When you look back, when did you see yourself starting to gain some momentum?
Well, the homestand numbers obviously don't look great, and they aren't great. So I think we went 1-3-2, but there's a lot of games that could have went our way. I know the Anaheim, the Islanders, I felt both those games were very winnable. They go to overtime, we don't win them. I thought the Florida game was winnable. We lose that one 3-2. So I thought in the middle of that, we were playing better than the results we were getting. I know we lost to Colorado early in that homestand. Obviously, they're having a great year. I don't think that was our best. It was our first game back, I believe, from the road trip. But after that, I thought, for the most part, there was some good hockey in there. Even the Tampa game we lost at home, it was tied in the third. You know, we're right there. So we were right there a lot at home, but didn't make the play at the critical moment, so to speak, get the save or score. Now we're starting to do more of that.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Bruce, about Braden Bowman, because he's now got 3 goals in his first 5 games in the National Hockey League, 4 points as well. It was a multi-point night for him last night with Jack Eichel. What is it that you're seeing from Braden Bowman that has been most impactful, and why is it so difficult to do that on your first call-up?
The thing I'm noticing is he's consistent in how he needs to play every night. And by that, I mean he's winning his share of puck battles. He's separating in space. So he's got enough quickness and hockey IQ where he needs to get to with the puck to make a play. Defensively, his details are excellent. He's in shooting lanes, has a good stick on the forecheck. Just a lot of little things that, you know, he stops on pucks. He faces pucks in D-zone coverage. Little things you have to remind guys when they come up, right? So, and even guys that have been here, you do. So he's got a lot of good details in his game. And now he's making things happen too, right? So he can play. He's got details. She tells me that'll help you get over the hump when maybe the puck's not following you, so you can still help the team win. And he's also getting to the net and finishing plays around the front of the net, which we thought would be his strength if he was, you know, going to help us, and it has. But all his other parts of his game have been very good as well. And that, to me, is surprising for a first-year guy in his first call-up. Usually, you're not there yet, right? And rightfully so. You're young, you're learning. But he seems to have been able to manage that so far. So maybe he's going to skip a step. You know, some guys come right up and never go back. Other guys, it takes a time or two to sort of figure it out. But it's still too early to say that. But right now, he's certainly on that path.
I loved your honesty, though, last night, that you're even surprised with what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I don't see it a lot in first call-ups. I just don't. So, and I've been doing this for a while, and usually I'll use Dorofeev, for example, right? He came up a couple times, and you could see there's flashes. You can tell he's going to be a good player, but some of the stuff that you need to do in a man's league just isn't there yet. So eventually they get it figured out, and off they go. So, I don't go through all the call-ups because there's a number of guys that have been up, and maybe their next call-up they'll stick with us, some in our system now, but that's what he's been able to do better than most.
Bruce Cassidy joining us on the VGK Insider Show as the Golden Knights get ready for a Saturday night game in Anaheim. First place on the line against the Ducks. I was talking before you joined us, like, both sides are keenly aware, even though it's game 22 for them and 21 for you, that this is a result that will give one side first place.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We had a good game against them at home. Like I said, I think it was a very winnable game for us. We didn't get it done, but they're a young team. You know, they'll be buzzing around. They got a bit of what Utah's going through. They started the year on fire, young legs, and Utah did the same. Then all of a sudden, well, there's a little bit of news around the league, right? These young guys are playing well, and it's in Utah. And Chicago's going through it with Bedard and some of their guys, and Anaheim's going through it. So now they've got people's attention. So it's going to become a little more difficult. You're seeing that with their record now, right? They're not winning quite as much because I think they're not sneaking up on anybody, so to speak, anymore. So that's what's in front of us tomorrow. And, hey, I wanted to touch on one thing with Bowman, actually, because I wonder what you guys thought. So a guy comes up like that, right? And some people say, oh, well, he's playing with Jack Eichel. No wonder he's scoring. He's on the power play. No wonder he's doing well. You know, it's easy when you're playing with them versus – do you know how hard it is to come up and play with Jack Eichel and get him the puck and read off him? He's an elite player in the league. So that part of it's not easy for him, right, to get thrown into that. Some guys couldn't handle that. So he's also got the kind of the intestinal fortitude to, or the confidence, whatever word you're looking for, to handle that. So I just wanted to throw that out there because sometimes that's what happens. Guys come up and they're put too high up in the lineup and they're not ready for it. Here's a guy that was and has handled it so far. So that's the other part about him that I find impressive and why I'm also surprised.
But
sorry to go back on the question there, Darren, but I just figured I like to, as you know, I like to expand on thoughts every now and again. So
it's a fluid conversation, and it fits because we had the exact conversation in Studio 31 with the guys before the game on the pregame show last night, and it was pointed out that you've tried veteran players on the power play, and you continued to tweak it because it didn't click. You put a rookie in, and because so veteran players were having trouble despite all that talent getting it done, and you tried a couple of different guys on Jack's right side. It didn't click, but he comes in. So that tracks for me what you were able to see how difficult it was just by other people being in that spot and not happening and Bowman going in and making it work.
Yeah, well, he's allowed everyone to sort of be comfortable in where they were before when Stoney was there. And, yeah. And I think that's why you're seeing success, right? And listen, he's off and running, and I don't want to put too high expectations on him that, you know, he's going to become Mark Stone or whatever, but he does have some attributes of Mark Stone. So, and it showed with his ability to play with Jack, and that's the type of player I think Jack excels with. And again, a guy that can get him the puck off the wall, read his thoughts and get open for him, et cetera, move to holes, recover pucks and bump it over his way, little things like that. I think he's been good at. So, but we'll see. It's five games, right? It's, it's a small sample size so far, so good for him. And that'll be the test for him that's what separates the guys, right? The call-ups and what we were talking about earlier, the first, second, third try is the consistency of the league, right? It's every night. It's an every night league. And that's a challenge for those guys.
Bruce Cassidy with us as the Golden Knights have an off day getting set for the Ducks in Anaheim tomorrow. This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. So just want to pick your brain on something. Last night, Utah really played Jack aggressively, and they did so. And you as a former defenseman, works even better. They had their D-man on the penalty kill all the way up towards the blue line on Jack and the sideboards. Have you seen that before? Or how often do you see that?
Well, teams do it differently. Some teams will just have a forward and they kind of leak over there and stand beside him to really deny him the puck. Dallas did it with Tanev in the playoffs. I don't know if you remember that a few years ago. They had overplayed Jack. And he's a defenseman and a shot blocker and a guy that has a good stick. So I think that's why they use a D-man, because not only do they have a good stick, but he's willing to block a shot if Jack decides to start letting it rip. So other teams will try to – I think the Rangers the other day kind of shifted a forward over, and we just ran that bypass right by him down to the goal line.
Yeah, so, Mitch found the seam.
Yeah, so and then, you know, we score a goal off it, right? We seam, and they're still worried about Jack. So good on them to recognize what was there and what was available. But, yes, I've seen it before. And that's the teams that play a diamond now, where it's less of a box. That was the old days. Now you see a lot more of a diamond, and they kind of play out on the guys on the elbows, the flanks, like it would be Pav and Jack in this case. So, but yes, and they've done well, Utah. I think their kill is on a terrific run right now, and we didn't have any success last night. Now, one kill was 10 seconds, and the other one was late in the game that I think we're just trying to manage the game situation. But they've been going really well.
A couple more with Bruce Cassidy on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan.
You know, Bruce, defense is the bedrock of this team, and it has been for a while now. Going into the season without Alex Pietrangelo, I think you know, there were questions as to how quickly the Golden Knights would kind of get to that level where they're able to suppress chances. Overall, the shot suppression has been phenomenal all season long. Are you happy with where the overall defensive game is right now?
Very much so. We do our analytics meetings every 10-game segment, so we just got off a call with it, and our numbers back up what we're seeing and you're seeing on the ice. Everything's really tight. There's always a few areas that you can improve on, but in general, you know, the chances from the slot, net front, the areas we want to control, how many great high dangers, all those numbers are very good. And, you know, that we do want that to be the hallmark of the team. And then, you know, get your offense going when you need it. And, you know, obviously power play pitching in. And even our penalty kill numbers are very good. We've been a little bit unlucky with the goals that have gone in. And that's, another part of team defense. So very pleased with that. I think our guys have been very conscientious of that part of the game. You know, Lozon's a good defender, a stay-at-home guy. Zach Whitecloud's played a few more minutes. He's, you know, really, takes a lot of pride in defending. Korzak's a really good skating defender. He's become a little more physical. I don't know if you noticed last night, he got into it with Cooley and Gunther, the young studs over there. So good on him. Good on him to let people know that he's going to play them hard and when he needs to. So, yeah, and the other guys like Theo and Nabber have been lights out in terms of their defending, in terms of pairs in the NHL. I think they're in the top two in the league. So they're the guys that where it starts. And having Hanny back in the lineup, I think, has really helped us. It's added a mobile guy beside Whitecloud so that, you know, the pairs are complementing each other. And you know what? Ben Hutton comes in and he's giving us a little offense, a little spark, you know, very popular guy with the team. So the whole decor, you know, is doing a good job, especially in front of, I mean, don't forget, we're playing with two very young goaltenders out there every night that are, you know, still trying to find their, you know, get comfortable in the league. So give those guys a lot of credit. And then obviously, you know, the forwards too work doing their part, right? It's a group of five that defends, but it's usually where it usually starts with the D-man.
You don't miss a lot in and around the organization, the hockey world, our broadcast. Is there anything you've noticed that I need to be aware of? Anything that I can improve on?
Well, I think sometimes I notice, you know, you're trying to fix the hair or get back to the Tom Cruise Risky Business kind of look on set there. I noticed that a little here and there. So how about we get together and get some product? The two of us could probably use it, to be perfectly honest. So maybe some suggestions will come pouring in for the both of us there. And we can upgrade there.
my wife is torn between the flip and Kevin Bacon. And so I'm trying to grow it out a little bit, and I'm not sure that I can fully commit to it.
Kevin Bacon has to have, like, that thing flops around but stays in place, right? So he has to have something there. Or he's got a naturally thickness to it. I don't know. I don't know. She's on to something. I like it.
It sounds like a good feature. Millard and Cassidy, go to the salon.
Well, we have two different. You have a lot more. I'm trying to work with what I got, so I'm limited. I'm like a support player.
Yours is really good, though. You've always had the good look back there.
Well, if you go back to 1984, it's a great mullet, but I've said that many times. I'm still living in the past, but as I said, trying to make it work. That's it. But let's focus on yours. You've got a little more to go with there, so let's get yours squared away.
You don't have to do this. We really appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night in that battle for first place. Appreciate it, Bruce.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Enjoy your weekend.
You bet. There's Bruce Cassidy. Bruce from Summerlin in Anaheim. Now, text us, 702-876-1340. The text line is open, 702-876-1340. Did I get you with it? Did anybody fall for it? Think, I'm talking to some guy from Summerlin. Because Bruce plays right along with it.
He does. I'll say this, that you're probably going to get a text from Mike, and he's probably going to be a little sour that you didn't actually open the phone lines. That's my guess.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because you know what that means? Means the bit worked.
For sure.
So Mike, for the good of the show, is probably like, okay, I don't mind it.
No, I think he's good with it. I just think he also wanted to call.
Is that not awesome? Well, Mike would call if every hour of Fox Sports Las Vegas was open to VGK talk, he would phone. Because he has that many questions, which is great. And we love all of our listeners. And there's been so much great interaction with the supporters of the VGK Insider Show and social media, especially this week. Heard a lot from people. So they make this thing go. So I appreciate, and I do appreciate them all. But I just wanted to have some fun with bringing Bruce from Summerlin on.
No, it's awesome. I love it when we get Bruce from Summerlin on the show. I love that he plays along with the bit as well every time we bring him on. And, you want to get somebody to expand on all of their thoughts when it comes to hockey. Just going back to Braden Bowman and explaining just, how difficult it is to play alongside Jack Eichel. And here you are 5 games into your NHL career, and you are playing off of one of the NHL's best, and it's not an easy thing to do. You're getting difficult matchups every single time you're on the ice. There are layers to how Bruce Cassidy thinks about the game, and it's just so refreshing and awesome to be able to have that on the program.
It's funny he brought up Bowman fitting in so well and how hard it really is, like, because he's made it look seamless.
Yeah.
And just piggybacking off of what Sharples and Marty said last night, how many different combinations they'd tried or alignments they'd attempted on the power play. And then you take this kid in, and it works. That's usually not the case. It's usually putting a veteran guy who's been around a little bit and knows and is aware and has dealt with the pressure of playing with big players. Playing with great players brings with it a lot of pressure. Yeah. Ivan Barbashev has said that before about how he's had to adjust his game to be more focused every shift playing with Jack Eichel. There's a guy that had won a Stanley Cup before playing with Jack Eichel and realized it. And so that's a real good commentary on Braden Bowman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And, I even said it, like, there are no shifts off when you're playing with Jack Eichel. You have to be on. You have to expect that wherever you are, Jack can get you the puck. And that's what you saw on Braden Bowman's goal last night.
Reactions coming in on the text line. We'll bring those to you as we continue. It's Fox Sports Las Vegas. You are listening to the VGK Insider Show.
Mm-hmm.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Reactions to Bruce from Summerlin coming in as we opened up the phone lines, and only took one caller today. And that was Bruce Cassidy calling in from Anaheim. Bruce from Summerlin, who is in Anaheim. Interesting, the text lines. This kind of reflects a little bit of you and then a little bit of me.
Okay.
At start, it's like excellent showing. And then it goes to, of course I wanted to call, but I knew you weren't going to open the phone lines on a Friday. That's you.
Sure.
But that's from Mike. Jess says, yeah. Mallers never tricked anyone. That's you. You don't want to give me credit for an awesome bit. And then it starts to work in my favor. Joey responds with, awesome. You did good. Mike getting a busy signal or ringing for infinity. Joey's channeling some fun thoughts there. Terry says, I would like to know more about the hair. Mm-hmm. And Michael sends, love that bit. Bruce is awesome and funny too.
Yeah, listen, it's a good bit. I like the bit. I will give you your flowers on the bit because you might have tricked me when you said we were opening up the phone lines. I wasn't really sure because you and I had been in communication pretty much all day about the show, and at no point in time did you tell me that you wanted to open the phones. And you know, listen, we go off script quite a bit on the program. It's totally fine. I just figured there was an angle that you wanted to cover later on. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned Bruce and Summerlin. I'm more mad at myself for not getting it initially, like off the hop. But good bit.
That's fair.
Well done.
So I never thought of it that's like inside in our group that I might be surprising some people. Jess. Did I catch you off guard? Like, were you thinking, we never talked about opening the phones?
Yeah, I did think that. I did. I'm like, okay, we're going to take callers at some point.
Well, you controlled that. You handled that really well.
All right.
That curveball.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't think of how it was going to impact our group. And I apologize for that. But I still would have done it.
Yeah, for sure. In the future, like the next time we have Bruce on, I'm just going to prepare for, hey, everybody, we're going to open up the phone lines later on in the show and then bring in Bruce from Summerlin. Now I know. I know better now.
I thought it was good because I wasn't giving out the number.
Right.
I wasn't telling everybody, call now and giving out the number.
That's the tell. Like
that to me was the tipping point on whether we were actually opening up the phone lines. And Mike doesn't text.
He does every now and again, but did Mike actually call? That's what I want to know.
Ooh.
Like, I know he said that he knew we weren't going to open the phone lines. But
Jess, were the lines flashing?
No, not that I saw. I did not see Mike.
I'll ask him tomorrow after the game.
Yeah, because he's going to call tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate it every time Mike calls. I really do. But I will ask him after the game tomorrow.
We didn't have time to get into the goaltending too deep, but Akira Schmid put forward another impressive performance, and I talk about this every now and then. Some of the data that I'm able to acquire through a service that the broadcast subscribes to, and this is different than the public data you and I have gone over before. The public data that's available to everybody can be a little flawed because it goes off some bots and automation. It doesn't have real people watching the game, so it can be flawed at times. But Akira Schmid last night and the goal saved above expected had that game as a really close game. He was if everything goes according to the numbers, he was supposed to have allowed shy of two goals last night.
Okay, wow.
Or just over two goals last night. He was a save and a bit,
okay,
or a goal and a bit better than he performed. So that's significant. It's very much on the same level of Ilya Sorokin was in the game at T-Mobile a little bit ago, which was spectacular.
Yeah, the save that kind of stands out in my mind for Schmid last night was the one on Lawson Crouse late in the first period. And, you know, I just think in the context of the game, it's 0-0. you want to either you want to play with the lead for the Golden Knights. Like, the common theme in their last three victories is that they have had the lead and they've been able to build on the lead and really control the game. So you wanted to have that big save when you needed it. I think you got it from Schmid in the first period. I thought he was really, really good. And then that allowed the Golden Knights to kind of take things over in the second period.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Write this down. And I'm going to write it down too, but sometimes my sheet just gets too messy because I've got so many doodles and and little things on. Can you remind me about the second period conversation in hour number two?
Will do.
Okay. We've got the Hockey Parlay Contest brought to you by Paul Padilla. We are looking for which caller?
We're going to take caller number five.
702-876-1340, caller number five. We will give you three games to select from. If you pick all three right, you will win the jackpot. What are we playing for this week?
We're playing for $400.
That's straight to your pocket if you go three for three. 702-876-1340. We'll play the Hockey Parlay Contest brought to you by Paul Padilla as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas. This is the VGK Insider Show.
This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
It happens every Friday during the National Hockey League scene on the VGK Insider Show. It's the Hockey Parlay Contest brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. We give you three games. You pick the winners of all three. And guess what? You win the jackpot, which is up to $400. Grows by $100 every week. There's not a winner. We're up to $400. I haven't had a winner all year. Looking for our first one. But there's some boxes you have to check to qualify.
It's very true. You must be a Nevada resident, 21 years of age or older, and have a valid Nevada driver's license or government-issued photo ID card and a valid Social Security number.
All right, let's bring in Greg. Do you check all those boxes?
I check all those boxes. Hey, guys, love your show.
Oh, thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It.
Who do you like more, Ryan or Darren?
Well, you know, it varies, actually, day to day, to be honest.
Really? Yeah. Who are you liking more today?
That's a good answer.
Who's asking me the questions?
That's Darren.
It's Darren. Yeah.
Darren, I love Darren.
Attaboy. Always the right answer. Always the right answer. Greg, let's run through the games for you. And there's three games. Jared has mailed his in. But we got it. Like, not mailed it in lazily, but he's mailed it in. He's got the Blues and the Islanders tomorrow.
Okay. Islanders.
Islanders to win tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues. I like that pick. Blues just having trouble getting any traction. Ryan,
that's
what do you
what
have?
I was thinking. I agree with you, Darren.
All right, I've got the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens tomorrow.
Oh, man. Are you guys allowed to help me on that one? You guys are way smarter than me. Help.
I'm sending you telepathy. Are you getting it?
I'm not. Maple Leafs or the Maple Leafs.
All right.
And you don't like it.
I didn't say that. I just didn't really respond to it. The last one is Oilers and Panthers. It's a Stanley Cup final rematch from the last two championship series. Interesting. Both teams are outside playoff position right now, and they've met in the last two championship series. And this game is in Florida.
But Nate Schmidt's not playing for the Panthers anymore. So he scored last night. I'm going with the Oilers.
All right, the Oilers to beat the Panthers. Mm-hmm. You've got Toronto to take down Montreal and the Islanders.
Is that what I said? Can I change my mind on that one?
I was just going to say, I'll give you a last chance if you want to alter any of your picks.
Canadians. I'll take the Canadians.
Canadians.
Then,
all right. If Montreal, the Islanders, and the Oilers win, you're $400 richer. And I'm cheering for you, man. You know why? Because I think you're the best, Greg.
You know, Darren, you're growing on me.
Yeah. That happens every now and then.
Yeah.
It doesn't last for very long, but it does happen from time to time.
Be good, Greg. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck, okay?
Hey, thanks again. I really do appreciate your show, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Greg. That's awesome.
Make sure that Greg has all the information passed on to Jess. That is our hockey parlay contest brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery. I might have gone Panthers, but the Oilers are due. So that's a really tough one. Montreal is really struggling with their goaltending right now, but yeah. Toronto has no momentum.
No.
That's a difficult one.
It's a really tough game.
Islanders is the only real slam dunk.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the Blues beat the Islanders. I like Montreal because I don't buy the Leafs.
But Montreal was terrible last night or
a couple nights ago. And I would go with the Panthers over the Oilers.
Montreal can't get any type of save right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These teams that have had great starts, starting to wobble a bit.
Certainly the case with Utah.
Yeah, great example, Utah. They're picking up some points, but when they are, it's only the loser point that lost in overtime. Hour number two coming up. I'm going to get into that second period thing. It's the BGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, this is the BGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Vegas Golden Knights have points in five in a row, back within 1 point of first place in the Pacific Division, just behind the Anaheim Ducks, and first versus second tomorrow, Saturday night in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. You can listen to it on Fox Sports Las Vegas, Lotus Broadcasting. You also watch it on Vegas 34, streamed on Nighttime Plus. We've got it all covered for you, a radio and television. Golden Knights in one of their better stretches of the season, and there's another level or two to go. They won four games in a row earlier this season. I think we've got a more balanced game going right now. In October, a lot about the power play, a lot about that top line. This is an effort that's more spread out, Ryan.
100%. I mean, you look at the Golden Knights just over the last five game stretch where they are 3-0-2, you're getting power play contributions, but you're getting contributions from everywhere. Hurdles chipped in with a couple of goals. You've gotten goals from your defenseman and Shea Theodore. Your second power play unit with Riley Smith has found the back of the net. Brandon Saad has scored for you as well. So you're getting more production from the blue line. Ben Hutton, a pair of goals in the last two games for the Golden Knights. And that production, when it's been balanced, when it has come from all different facets of the lineup, that's when the Golden Knights have been at their most dangerous. And again, the bedrock of this team has been their ability to defend, and to defend at an incredibly high level. And that's what really has kind of allowed them to let the offense come in from different areas and be enough to win games.
Individual history last night was Braden Bowman scoring his third goal in his first five games in the National Hockey League with the Vegas Golden Knights. Nobody else had done that. He was equal with Paul Cotter, scoring two goals in his first four with the Vegas Golden Knights in his National Hockey League debut. So he's got that mark on his mantle all by himself. The other history that was made last night was the Vegas Golden Knights equaling the National Hockey League record for most games to start a season allowing 30 shots or less. It's a bit cumbersome, but basically they haven't allowed 30 shots in a game from the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And that equals the record of 20 games in the NHL. They do it tomorrow night, and they have that all to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been something we've tracked now for the Golden Knights. Obviously, probably the first 2-3 weeks into the season. At that point, when it starts to become that trend, you start to look at it. And you know, the fact of the matter is the Golden Knights don't give up very much. And yeah, I've really liked their overall defensive game. I think that they're controlling play quite a bit. And the stretches where they are, kind of hitting their stride, they are relentless. You're unable to get pucks to the areas you need to get them to score. You're unable to get pucks even to the front of the net. A lot of shot blocks, a lot of selling out as a team to make sure that you're doing all the little things you need to do, but it doesn't happen by accident. The Golden Knights have been incredibly good in terms of shot suppression, and I'll take it a step beyond. Like, the chances that they're giving up are not astronomical inside of a game. I think overall as a team, they have done a great job in their own zone.
Want some more hockey? Out at Lee's Family Forum tonight, the Henderson Silver Knights. So we'll start a weekend set against the Milwaukee Admirals. Free parking. We've got some pretty good deals going on at the concessions as well. It's a back-to-back set, Wand and Wizard Knights. Tomorrow for the Henderson Silver Knights. All kinds of activations. If you buy tickets through the online offering, you get a wand. There's some really cool things happening tomorrow night at Lee's Family Forum. Tonight we've got the straight-up game against Milwaukee. Don't know who's playing in goal for Henderson, but the Silver Knights coming off a really impressive game last Saturday night against Calgary, and we'll try to keep it going tonight with Ryan Craig and company. A couple of players out of the lineup dealing with some adversity. We got Braden Bowman up with the Vegas Golden Knights, you always forget how much there's a trickle down when Vegas has somebody up.
Yeah,
the AHL team is missing somebody, so that's what made last week impressive. Trevor Connolly is the guy. If you're gonna go watch, there's great stories all the way around, but you want some sizzle. Trevor Connolly's got it going on. Played his first two games of the season last year, coming back from injury. First round draft pick of the Vegas Golden Knights from a couple of years ago, and he has everything when it comes to skill and sizzle.
For sure. I mean, there's, you know, plenty of reasons, obviously, to check out a Henderson Silver Knights game, especially if you are a fan of Harry Potter this weekend. But you know, I think Trevor Connolly is certainly at the top of the list. You mentioned it. He's got tremendous skill and, you know, had a great debut last weekend with the Henderson Silver Knights. Now you're just kind of looking at the week-over-week progression. Like, it's all about development. It's all about continuing to kind of build the game in the right way. And for Connolly, with what that means for him is to be dynamic, to be one of those players that you notice every single time he's on the ice. And you know, with the absence now of Braden Bowman, because he's up with the Golden Knights, it provides opportunity, ample opportunity, for Trevor Connolly to step into that role and, you know, continue to grow. And that's really what you're looking for as a player like Trevor Connolly is. And you're right, like the trickle down, it's really interesting, because Bowman, 7 goals, 5 assists, a point a game with the Henderson Silver Knights. You miss that production, you need someone to slide into that spot and do the job. Trevor Connolly certainly announced that he's willing to get there with his debut.
Yeah, very different player than the likes of a Bowman, who's Mark Stone-esque.
Sure.
In Bowman. And you know exactly what we're talking about when we say do that comparable to Mark Stone. Hard worker, great instincts, does all the little plays really well, and is a 200-foot player and just a worker with great insight to the game. Can almost see things happening before, and for a Trevor Connolly, it's the natural blessed ability to be incredibly skilled at this game. He's fast. He's got hands. The puck dances on his stick. He will score a Michigan-esque type goal this year. I guarantee it, because the times that I've been on the ice with him, he does it as he picks up the puck on a stick like that. As easily as anybody I've ever been on the ice with, it's perfect. And he's got a lot of roller hockey influence in his game, so that skill, that
sure
style to his game, and it's just you see a different type of game with Trevor Connolly than you do when you watch a lot of other players who are north south, and I'm excited to see his progression. And he got hurt this summer in an international event, and it took him a while to rehab. He just had spent so much time in the gym with the National Hockey League trainers and strength staff here at City National Arena in the big team's facility, and he is stronger, and I think he's a little faster. And the last, I actually said this to him, the last thing, because he wanted to be out there, right? He mm-hmm. he wanted to be at training camp. He wanted to be at development camp. I said, the last thing you really need is more work on your skill. But this opportunity to get stronger and sure. and be around the strength and conditioning staff of the National Hockey League team, like this is an opportunity, and he embraced it, and yeah. I'm really happy to see the way that he's been able to hit the ground running.
Yeah, that's a great point, because when you're that talented, when you're that skilled, it's often because that's the big area of focus, and when you're trying to make the transition from, you know, minor hockey to professional hockey, be it the AHL, the NHL, whatever it may be, you need to get stronger. You need to kind of fill out and be able to go up against men that have been in this league for a long time. So that's kind of an area where, you know, I think the injury helps Connolly to some degree. You're never wanting an injury, but if it can kind of streamline his approach to building muscle, to getting stronger, to filling him out more in an NHL body, then you'll take it all day long.
VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace. A chance to compare some notes with our friend Zach Kavanaugh from the Sporting Tribune and the host of the Ducks in Deep podcast. I had Pat Verbeek on our podcast, 100% Hockey, earlier today. So let's bounce some things back and forth. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
What do you see as the biggest difference between the Ducks, who took the step last year but fell short, and the Ducks, who are in first place 21 games into the season?
To me, the number one thing is just the attitude that Joel Quenneville has instilled in them, in a not play like a very loose style necessarily, but go out there and don't be afraid to make mistakes, push forward and attack. And I think you've seen that with the offensive numbers going up, the more free-flowing play of guys like Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier, where last year with Greg Cronin, there was always a bit of a reticence to, if they made a mistake, that they would get punished for it or pulled back, or, you know, that there was some sort of reins, clamps being put down on them. And here, Quenneville, at least early on, was saying, let the horses run and let these kids go out there and show off their skill. Now, that's starting to form a little bit as you get deeper into the season, right, where you've made those early mistakes, and now you say, okay, well, we have to correct those mistakes because they will come to back to bite us at some point. But just the more offensively free-flowing offense that they found early this season is certainly a difference.
That does track with my conversation with Pat Verbeek this morning, and on Joel Quenneville, he admitted Joel puts his players in positions that makes the general manager nervous. And what I mean by that sort of connects with what you're saying. Like he's giving them some rope in the course of the game and seeing what they're going to do with it, and then coaches them afterwards. So there's a consistent message both from what you're seeing and what I've been told. Ryan?
Yeah, I guess let me ask this question in terms of Joel Quenneville. You mentioned what he's meant to the young core of the Anaheim Ducks, but I'm looking at like Chris Kreider and Jacob Trouba and the starts that they've had. They've been tremendous. How has Quenneville made them better?
I think those guys are both self-starters. Kreider in particular is just, he is a guy that has come in and been an immediate North Star. You can feel the respect that all these guys in the room have for Kreider. And I think with Trouba, I think it's just a matter of getting more comfortable and finding the right, not line mates necessarily, because he played with a bunch of these younger players last year, but he's really paired up with Olin Zellweger in a big way. And I think that free-flowing nature has also helped him out a bit. Trouba is pinching up into the play more than he did at any point last year in his half season with the Ducks. So I feel like he's just gotten more comfortable and is ready to do those things, knowing that there's guys that will be able to pick him up, or at the very least, you know, there's a goaltender behind him in Lukas Dostal that is going to stop more pucks than he doesn't. So I feel like Trouba is kind of morphing into the system a bit more, and Kreider is just, he's healthy, he's motivated, he's a guy that just sort of fit like a glove into what they wanted. And Pat Verbeek sort of said as much when we talked to him in the offseason when they acquired him, of he's a guy that's going to go to the front of the net, and he's got to teach some of these younger guys the importance of getting to the front of the net. And he is doing that, leading by example, and you're seeing guys like Cutter Gauthier and Beckett Seneca in particular kind of take to those lessons and find those gritty areas, and that has improved everyone at the forward core.
Biggest reason for the success seems to be revolving around Leo Carlson, who's been outstanding. Do you see a different part of his game, or is it simply a progression from year to year?
It's a progression, but I think for him, the biggest difference I've noticed in the day-to-day is his determination. I got a chance to talk to him on one of the road trips earlier in the year, just one-on-one when they were in Boston. And I asked him, what is the difference for you? And he said it was hunger to win. And when after the last game in Vegas, he had said, you know, he scored that incredible goal that you all saw and the skill on display. The next night, he scored two goals. Beckett Seneca scored two goals. So a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old with four goals in one game for the Ducks. And he said that the young guys, kind of him, McTavish, Gauthier, they all had a conversation before the season that they needed to step up. And his final quote, which has really stuck with me these last 2 weeks, is, it's about time, honestly. He knew that it was time for this young group of guys to step up and take the reins of this franchise. He's been given an alternate captain on the road by Joel Quenneville. Miss McTavish has at home. And these guys are really taking to that notion of, this is our team now. For all the veterans they brought in, for the new coaching staff, for all of that, if this franchise is truly going to take that step forward, it is on the backs of these guys. And you see it with just the night-in, night-out determination of a guy like Leo in particular.
Zach Kavanaugh is with us from the Sporting Tribune and host of the Ducks in Deep podcast on Fox Sports Las Vegas. This is the VGK Insider Show.
You know, Zach, you mentioned Lukas Dostal, and you have to have something special to move on from a goaltender in John Gibson, who had been with the Ducks seemingly forever. Can you put a ceiling on how good you believe Dostal will be in his career? Because he's just tremendous and a big reason why the Ducks are where they are right now.
Yeah, you saw those flashes of elite play early in the year last year when Gibson was out with an appendectomy, and it allowed Dostal to really take the reins for the first 13-15 games or so. And he's sort of tired by the end of the year, I thought, with taking on the bigger workload. But now he has the full offseason of getting that mental state of being the number one. And as far as the ceiling, I really don't know what the ceiling is for this guy. He can be a Vezina caliber goaltender. I truly believe that. And the reason that he stands out among that is Lukas Dostal does not make the fantastic save because he never needs to. He anticipates the play so well. Every single one of the players say it too, that so many shots he just absorbs with his chest. He's not making a big flashy glove. He's not diving out with the leg. He's where he needs to be at all times. He could read the play so well. And the other thing that kind of keeps him able to come back night after night, Quenneville said that his personality traits may get him revoked from the goaltenders union because he's not an odd guy. He is very calm and focused and level. He is not he doesn't get too high after a win. He does not get very low after losses. He is a steady, consistent guy that is just cool as a cucumber.
Zach,
on the ice. And
Zach, there's more normal guys now than there is weird guys. So this whole thing about goalies are odd ducks. We got to put that to the side now.
Said.
Yeah,
Mallard.
Well, that's coming from Quenneville too, who's, you know, old school in that way, right? And I mean, the thing is, the Ducks, like, you look at John Gibson. John Gibson is, for all respect to John Gibson, his career, one of the most boring guys to talk to after a game, because he's just sort of, yeah, I went out there and made the stops, and you're like, oh, okay, thanks, John. And Dostal is a bit more cerebral, but still very kind of just relaxed and calm, and that helps him out so much.
I don't know whether it's going to be Akira Schmid tomorrow night for Vegas, but if it is Dostal and Schmid, a great podcast would be letting those two guys loose because they're very similar, very cerebral, love. They notice everything. They're interested in everything. They've got good sense of humors. It would be a cool little chat. Golden Knights against Anaheim tomorrow. It's been noted in and around the facility here, coaches, players, staff, that it is a game for first place. With the Vegas Golden Knights an opportunity to leapfrog Anaheim for top spot in the Pacific Division. What's it mean for Anaheim? Verbeek was very aware of the stakes on the line. What about throughout the building?
The players are very much aware, more now than they maybe were at the beginning of the year when they were sort of just riding the high. And I think it was after that first game in Vegas where they sort of they played Winnipeg the next night and Colorado the next night after. But to me, that was the check mark of, is this team going to be a true fighter in this race? And that was the game that kind of proved that, yes, they are. And I think they all took that to heart too. And it is important for them. They know the stakes of falling out of these things early and letting these, loot. They don't want to string together these losses in the way that they have in years past. And they had to grind out a couple of these games this week. And I think they're sort of battling the schedule. Everyone is, but they are certainly circling this one, and they had a day off today. So they'll be perfectly rested for tomorrow to take on this Golden Knights team and try to replicate what they did in Vegas. And that was a battle in itself. So I'm sure it'll be the same thing tomorrow night.
I'll be interested to kind of get your answer on this one, because it's a question we've batted around on the show. For the Golden Knights, they have been the class of the Pacific Division more often than not since their inception into the league. And tomorrow's game means something to Vegas because it's an opportunity to get back to first place. It obviously means something to the Ducks because, as you mentioned, you want to knock off the team that has kind of been the class of the division for as long as the Golden Knights have. So who does tomorrow's game mean more to? Is it Anaheim or is it Vegas?
I still think it's Anaheim because you have to continually reaffirm that you're still in this, especially for this young team that is still, for all the heights of the early season, they're still learning how to win. And not only do you need to learn how to knock off the team that's on top, now that you're on top, you need to learn how to keep that spot, how to take off these challenges that you're going to get everybody's best every night now. The thing that I've noticed as the season has changed, even at the beginning part of the season, the Ducks were still getting a lot of teams' backup goaltenders more nights than not. And now they're starting to get, it's flipping, especially when the teams do the back-to-back with LA, that the Ducks are the ones getting the starting goaltender and the Kings are the ones getting the backup. And that kind of signals the change to me of people are gunning for you now and you have to be ready for these harder challenges. And you've seen the league sort of adjust to the Ducks over this last two-week stretch. And they need to find different ways to win. And I think that is key for them to continually fight off these challenges and establish themselves as a long-term contender and not an early flash in the pan.
Thanks to Zach Kavanaugh from the Sporting Tribune and Ducks in Deep podcast. If you want to check out Pat Verbeek, he was on 100% Hockey, and that is out. I know it's you don't always get a chance to get the general manager's ear, so good conversation with John Shannon and I earlier today. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it, and we'll lean on you again.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm definitely going to check that out because Pat avoids us. So we'll see what he has to say.
Well, that's the advantage of being old and around a long time, is we're able to lean on that and lean into it. I'd rather be young and vibrant in life, but it comes in handy as a commentator. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
There's Zach Kavanaugh from Ducks in Deep podcast and the Sporting Tribune. All right, well, let me get into this whole second period thing.
Okay.
And for like three games in a row, it kept coming up during the homestand.
Sure.
And different queries about you didn't play well in the second period, you got outscored in the second period. what happened in the second period. And it was such a small blip that I don't like to roll my eyes, and I do it internally, because rolling your eyes publicly in a scrum is not a cool thing. But it's I wanted to just put some perspective on it. Vegas last night was great in the second period again. They scored three goals. Mm-hmm. On the year, they're plus two in the second period. There was that little blip on the homestand, but they were good in the second period before that, and they've been great in the second period after it. So the whole second period narrative, mm-hmm. flush it, please. And if tomorrow night Anaheim outscores Vegas 2-0 in the second period, please do not phone Ryan on the post-game show and say, we got to fix the second period. There's ebbs and flows, but as a totality of the season, now 20 games in, there's nothing wrong with their second periods, and I wanted to put that to the to rest right now for your sake as much as anybody else's.
No, I appreciate it, and you know, I think, again, you kind of zoom into that homestand for the Golden Knights. There was one second period and one only where you look at it and you say, okay, the Golden Knights were thoroughly outplayed, and that was against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that came off of the heels of their best first period where they absolutely dominated Tampa Bay. We all know that Tampa Bay is a proud team. We all know they're a very, very good and highly skilled team. So it was only a matter of time in that game before they found their life. Whether it was in the second period, whether it was in the third period, it wouldn't have mattered. There was a push coming from Tampa Bay. You're never going to play a perfect 60-minute game. Ebbs and flows will happen. And, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, you look at their goal differential. Third period's been their best. Second period's been pretty good. First period was an area they needed to work on. They've gotten better in that regard. They're just a good team. And good teams are going to have pockets in the game where the opposition is going to be able to get the best of them, because they're on the ice too. Both teams are trying to win. That's my soapbox.
And I understand the question,
mm-hmm.
if there's a sample size, but not if it's a little blip. If you've done it for 25 games and you've been outplayed for 22 of them, yeah, there's an issue there. But it was mm-hmm. a small blip. And the Golden Knights, by period this year, are plus in every frame of regulation. Mm-hmm. 18-17 in the first. Starts have been better. So we're seeing some progress there. They're plus two in the second, and they're plus 10 in the third. So they get better every period.
So sure.
The only way you can get better every period is by being good in the second. Then, and so there you go. Wipes away that narrative. Do not call Ryan talking about the second period, or I'll find out. And
okay.
you won't
I'll
like
tell you.
What's happened.
Okay.
I'll not not to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody
okay.
else.
All right, that's fine. Whatever.
Just I've got your back.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I really am feeling the love today. Or, you know, at least the tolerance.
Yeah, well you weren't willing to give me flowers, but I've
hey.
just know I'm looking out for you. We've got a couple of giveaways.
We sure do. We'll, you know what, we'll do
what do you want to do first?
We'll do the tickets first. Yeah, we'll do the tickets first.
The hockey tickets?
Yeah, the hockey tickets for the Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks on November 29th. Don't quote me, but I believe that's a Saturday.
It is.
San Jose, Saturday, November 29th. Caller number 702-876-1340. You're going to go see the Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks.
Say hi to Jess, and you may just get a couple of tickets to see the San Jose Sharks, who are playing pretty good hockey themselves. Mm-hmm. VGK Insider Show has one-timers next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
News broke early this morning as John and I were recording. Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets the reigning MVP of the National Hockey League and three-time Vezina Trophy winner for best goaltender in the NHL, will be out 4 to 6 weeks. Surgery on his knee is scheduled for tomorrow. Cleaning some stuff up, nothing super serious. It's just been nagging him. They've known about it since training camp. They've talked to him, the doctors, the coaching staff, management, the agent, and they decided that now is the time to get this thing fixed. There's a couple of reasons why it's happening now. They wanted to see if he could play through it, and it eventually just became too many bad days compared to good days. I wish I would have known about this when we talked to Scott O'Neill earlier this week. So they wanted to, they gave it a chance to see if it was going to become a real problem. And it's becoming a big enough issue that it's bothering Connor Hellebuyck. You also want to have it done in advance of the Olympics in February. So this 4 to 6 weeks puts him into the first week of January. He can come back, find his rhythm, get ready for Milan Cortina and the Olympic Winter Games. That is why it falls right now. The impact on the Winnipeg Jets, if it's 4 to 6 weeks, if we go the high end, six weeks, takes you to or early on 2026, that's a 20-game stretch that you will be without him. And the final couple of weeks, there's not a lot of action. The bulk of the absence will be felt in the next 3 weeks because they have a couple of four-gamers and then a couple of three-gamers for their schedule. They really get into it from a compacted schedule in the next 21 days. And it'll be interesting to see where the general manager, Kevin Cheveldayoff, goes with this. Does he look for a short-term solution? And there's a couple of guys out there, not on rosters right now, that you could get up to speed in relatively short time to help out Eric Comrie, who's the goaltender, the backup goaltender there. Eric Comrie, a very good backup netminder.
Yeah.
Very fundamentally sound. Has never played more than 20 games. He's been around for more than a decade or a decade. But has never played more than 20 games in a year. This is going to be a stretch that he's going to be leaned on more than any time in his career. But what's behind him? That's the big question in Winnipeg and what they're going to do. They recalled Thomas Milic from the Manitoba Moose. He's had a good year in the American Hockey League. And he's going to play a little bit on the short term, but you've got two guys who have never played as much as they're going to be asked in the National Hockey League over the next little bit. So do they go outside the organization? Do they grab a James Reimer type of guy? Do they try to trade for somebody at depth? And the problem is, when he comes back, you're probably going to put that guy in waivers. You're going to lose him, or then you've got a goalie glut. Winnipeg's a good enough team that I don't think you need. They're going to miss Connor Hellebuyck,
sure,
but they're absolutely a good enough team that they should be able to tread water with capable goaltending. But if it goes sideways fast, I think you'll see a bigger move from Chevy.
James Reimer is an interesting one to me. I always wonder about, you know, like a guy like Phoenix Copley. Now that would require a trade of some kind because he's back with the Kings organization, but that's a goaltender that has been able to kind of come in and play more than what you'd expect from him and give you solid minutes. But it's a big loss not having Connor Hellebuyck for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And I think you're right on the money, though, in terms of the Winnipeg Jets. Like, they are a good enough team. They're structured really well. You just got Adam Lowry back in the fold, so getting healthier in other areas, that they should be able to kind of insulate their goaltending over the next 4 to 6 weeks. But Hellebuyck is the reigning Hart Trophy winner for a reason. He is that important to Winnipeg, and you know they've done a good job through injuries to this point, and they're going to need to find a way to kind of navigate this time without Hellebuyck.
Comrie's had a great start of the year, but he's on the same path to play the 18 to 20 games.
Right,
Connor Hellebuyck was right in that 62 ish type window. He's been so healthy over the years that this kind of just crept up on them. They're hoping it wouldn't be a big deal. I don't think this is a wear and tear type thing. I think this is just natural when you're a professional athlete that you're going to run into this type of a situation. And it is minor. Like it's not major surgery. It's go ahead and clean something up and get back in 4 to 6 weeks. And maybe he's back right around Christmas.
Sure.
But that window that he'll be able to get back and skating, they only play two games in the Christmas week and then two games coming out of it. So it's advantageous that they won't be playing. 20 games over 6 weeks isn't that bad, but they will miss him for the bulk of it. It's not like he's going to come back and they're going to be have all these games and the ability to thrust him in if he's healthier. He's guaranteed to miss, let's say, 16 games for sure.
Yeah, that's a big chunk. But you know, I guess if you look at it, the what matters to the Winnipeg Jets isn't necessarily the next 16 games, and what matters to Connor Hellebuyck is certainly going to be the Olympics and then the playoffs. And that's what this team's going to be judged on anyway. So you deal with the short-term pain, hopefully to have a healthy and ready-to-go Connor Hellebuyck in the back half of the season when everything matters a little bit more.
I'm excited for Comms. Eric Comrie has been sitting there wanting to play more games. Very understandable. He loves it in Winnipeg, loves the organization, loves working with Flatley, the goaltending coach in Winnipeg. There's so much that he enjoys about it. He just can't play enough.
Yeah.
And now the opportunity is there, and I'm hoping for his sake that it goes well for him, because it's just there's a guy that has earned an opportunity to have a good run and a positive run.
Now, you look at the numbers for Comrie, 4-1 in the 5 starts that he's got this season. Like, the numbers are great. I guess when you become the guy, when you're the guy you're leaned on more than you've ever been leaned on in your career before, you've only ever started 20 games as a high. Like, you know he can get the job done in relief of Hellebuyck, or as a number two behind Hellebuyck. What's the biggest challenge for Comrie? Is it just consistency, like we were
just
talking about with Kira Schmidt?
Yeah, give your team a chance to win every night. Mm-hmm. Not play two good games and a stinker.
Sure.
And in the workload's there, and he practices a lot and does a lot of extra work. He'll have to totally change his approach. I think I said Flatley, Flaherty. I always get Flats and the two Flats mixed up, Patrick Flatley and Wade Flaherty. Wade Flaherty's the director of goaltending for the Winnipeg Jets, and that dude is a good guy. There's a couple of like legendary guys, fun guys. Sean Burke is one of them in Vegas. Flats is pretty cool as well. He grew up, by the way. Flaherty grew up with Jeff Sharples.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Childhood buddies. Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers, not in a playoff position as they get set to play this weekend. Like, wild that they've been in the last two Stanley Cup finals.
Sure.
And one's because of injury, one's because of sluggish play, although Edmonton has been missing Zach Hyman in the start of the year. But they're looking across going, is it because of all the hockey we're playing that we're both in this position?
I mean, it's possible. I think I'm giving the Florida Panthers a little bit more of a pass, just because, to your point, yes, the Oilers are missing were missing Zach Hyman, but I mean, the Florida Panthers, no Matthew Tkachuk, no Alexander Barkov. Like, those are massive, massive holes. And I'm not...
Lusterainen now?
Yeah, Lusterainen, Kulikov. Like, they have been decimated by injuries, and yet they're still finding ways to win games and stick around where, you know, you believe in the Florida Panthers. The Oilers have been underwhelming. I keep waiting for them to go on a run. It hasn't happened yet. And I'm not completely starting to worry, but I'm getting to that point where I'm worried a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers.
They played a good game last night against Tampa. That was a fun hockey game. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched it today after the recording. And the box score, Billy's, we'll look at it and go, Edmonton lost again. Lost in overtime. But the play of Calvin Pickard was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And Edmonton had the lead for 57 minutes.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then got bit at the very... Oh, you see Alexander Ovechkin last night? He's top 10 in scoring.
Good for him.
Hat trick.
Good for Alexander Ovechkin. Good for the hat trick. Again, I can't get excited about the goals anymore. It's just a bummer for me.
Every goal is a new all-time record, and the bench should clear every time he scores.
Oh, come on. That is the worst take you have ever had.
Send them all out there.
Every goal?
Because you never know.
Stop it.
Players never know when it's their last goal. We're coming back to wrap things up on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Stay with us.
That was One-Timers. One-Timers. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
I'm on fire over here, lads. Come on, I need some back and forth. Come on, what do you got for me? What do you got for me? Now make it quick. Make it funny.
We're down to the wire. It's the last minute of play.
Eric Comrie's on the ice tonight. Jets lead the Hurricanes 2-1. He has stopped 11 of 12 shots. So just to update that story that we discussed in One-Timers. And it's a blowout Friday. Mm-hmm. The Penguins are getting drilled by the Wild. 5-0. And the Sabres are...
Look at that.
...brushing aside Chicago 6-2. It was actually... It was a bad start, 3-0 and 4-1 for Buffalo. Now a 4-goal lead. So the final game of the night will be Los Angeles against Boston. Los Angeles at home. They still have yet to straighten around things. Not a bad season for LA. 10-6-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the wins and losses home and road are exact opposite of what they were a year ago. And organizations don't like it when you win all your games on the road. It's not a recipe for selling tickets. So that'll be the issue that most people will have inside the Los Angeles Kings. Even though if it was reversed, be okay. That's fine. Yeah. We'll figure out the road stuff. But you always seem to get more questions when you are struggling at home and when you're good on the road.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to be bad on the road, not at home, right? Like, you want your fans to feel good about themselves when they leave the game, and usually if you lose, that's not the case. So if you're going to stink on the road.
That's exactly it. On the Saturday, it's a busy one, including the Vegas Golden Knights up against Anaheim, finishing this weekend set against the Ducks, and then they're back in Utah. Vegas against Anaheim. Kind of cool to have some fresh teams involved in the battle for first place. And we'll see just where Anaheim is. I'm sure Vegas is going to lean up. Vegas will be without William Karlsson. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone won't be in the lineup. Don't think that Jeremy Lauzon, haven't got a complete update there, but not expecting, haven't heard anything about him returning the lineup, so there'll be a few guys out for Vegas, but the old bull in the Vegas Golden Knights, even though they haven't played 10 years in the National Hockey League, looking to make a bit of a statement themselves tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that this road trip for the Golden Knights is an opportunity to make a statement. You have a young, up-and-coming Utah team. Golden Knights handled them. Same thing with Anaheim. We'll see if they can handle it. And then if they can kind of complete the trifecta, they're going to be in great shape.
You can tune in to the pregame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas with Ryan Wallace at 6 o'clock. We'll have it on the TV side, back with Sharples and Alec Martinez on Scripps Sports at 6:30. We might have had too much fun last night. Got a little goofy at times, but it was great.
Thanks for spending the week with us. We'll talk to you on Monday on Fox Sports Las Vegas.